thinking about healing now. Would you turn with me to John chapter 5? And it begins like this. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there is in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed, and one who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he'd been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." So that Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. And the day on which this took place was a Sabbath. And so the Jews said to the man who'd been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" So they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk?" The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "It's quite nice to see the guy had gone to the temple to worship, actually. It's a good sign, isn't it? See, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." But the man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. Doesn't come over to me as the nicest of guys, this fellow, actually. In my list of favourite people in the Bible, he comes near the bottom. Healing, a place of healing. I Googled Lourdes and came up with this picture of Lourdes in France, and there you go. A lot of people go there seeking healing. 200 million people seeking healing in Lourdes. That's a fifth of a billion of people. There have been 67 officially recognized healings, but many people claim that it's a place of healing, and they go there. It's so famous, it's even made a Woody Allen joke. He said, "I've been seeing an analyst for 15 years. I'm going to give him one more year, then I'm going to Lourdes." It's probably funnier when Woody Allen says it than when I try it. But Lourdes, there it is. It's a place of healing. And if you want to go there, go there. No problem at all. Place of healing. I wanted to think about this. Can we find a place of healing here this morning? That's my question. That's a question I asked myself. Can we find a place of healing here in North Wales, in Penrallt, this morning? So my thinking took me back to the Old Testament, to Numbers chapter 21 and verses 4 to 9. The people were in the Red Sea area, and they'd been there a long time, or they were going to be there a long time. And actually, that really does seem to me to be the wrong verse. I just need to... that's not the fault of our operator, because that's the verse I've got down in my notes. But it's not the verse I wanted to talk about. Oh, yes, it is. It is. I'm sorry about that. They spoke... but the people grew impatient on the way, and they'd been wandering in the wilderness. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the desert? There is no bread, there is no water, and we detest this miserable food." It's like school dinners, only worse. That was a joke for those of you who were old enough to remember when school dinners weren't the Jamie Oliver salad fest that they are today. The food was miserable. And they weren't happy. And then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a snake, put it on a pole, and anyone who is bitten can look at it and live." So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole, and when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, they lived. I've always found that a very strange story, but it's quite an important one. It becomes a very important symbolic story by the time we get to the New Testament. There are all sorts of ideas what the snakes were. One theory, which is an interesting one, is that the word for snake and worm in Hebrew is the same. And the area that they were passing through is still today infested with a thing called a guinea worm, which gets into your digestive system, burrows out, finds a place under your skin, and then burrows out through your skin, causing a wound that won't heal. And then when you enter fresh water, it then releases its eggs into the fresh water and the cycle starts again. And even today, the only way to get the worm out of your body is to get a cross-shaped stick and wind the head of the worm round it a little bit and leave it there. And every day, you just increase the tension. And over a period of a couple of months, the worm eventually comes out of your body. The World Health Organization, I learned in last fortnight, is actually hoping to eradicate this parasite in the next 10 years. They reckon they've found a way that they can eradicate this, get rid of it once for all. But that wasn't, it was still around in Moses' day. And perhaps what they're talking about was that. Either way, you're getting an idea of the situation they were in. It wasn't too good. They were suffering. They had these wounds on their body. And in the middle of the desert, God creates a place of healing around a cross with a bronze snake upon it, on a pole anyway. And it was a miracle. Let's not try and explain it away by any other means. It was a miracle. It was an intervention of God. But God creates a place of healing in the midst of disease, in the midst of tension and anxiety and concern and worry. God creates a place of healing. Now, when this comes to the New Testament, John takes this up a different way. In John chapter 3, verse 14, Jesus is talking about himself, and he says, "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up." And Jesus then takes the idea of the snake on the cross, the bronze snake that brought healing, and transfers that to the cross. And he says that when I am lifted up on the cross, I will heal the nations, I will heal the people as they were healed at that place of healing in the Old Testament. Now, isn't that interesting? The place of healing. An Old Testament symbol becomes a symbol of the cross. Fantastic. In November, I was down in Plas Valdebrennen, and I was talking to Roy Godwin, and we were talking about the cross. They have a little piece of land that juts out across the valley, looks out across the valley, and on the end, they've put a large wooden cross. And that place has become for many people a place of healing, of meeting them. And Roy tells the story of a man who'd he didn't have a live Christian faith. He had a Christian faith, but it wasn't great. Actually, the National Health Service comes into this story as well, so pay attention, and you'll see how God uses people. This man had recently been married, but to his alarm, the moment he was married, he discovered that his wife had a history of severe mental illness that no one had told him about. In fact, he couldn't handle it, and her illness was so severe that after a few weeks, they'd split up. And the man went into crisis and went to his doctor, and his doctor suggested, why not go and spend a few days at Plas Valdebrennen? So the old NHS comes into this once again. So the guy turned up, and if you do go there, Roy and Daphne, they don't counsel you. It's not a place of counselling, it's just a place of prayer. If you go there, they show you where to go and you go. They don't give you any counselling at all. They just let you find God in your own terms, in your own time. And so the guy went there, and he didn't really know what to do. So he wandered down to they call it the High Cross, because it looks out over the valley. And he went and he sat down by the cross. He was a young man in his 30s. He got bored after a while, so he thought he'd get up and go for a walk, and he found he couldn't get up. He was stuck to the ground in front of the High Cross. And there he stayed for several hours, in front of the High Cross, praying. But after a while, he managed to get up. And actually, somebody even tried to help him get up, and he still couldn't get up. So after a couple of hours, he found he could move, so he got up and he wandered away. As darkness fell, he went back there and spent most of the evening there in front of the High Cross. And God was beginning to work on him. So next morning, he rang his estranged wife. He said, "I know you think this strange, but I'm at a place in Pembrokeshire called Faldobrennan. I really want you to come here." He talked her into coming over there. So she did. And late in that day, his estranged wife arrived, and they walked down together to the High Cross. They sat down there. She turned and stared at the cross. And then, as Roy Godwin describes it, she became ragged with sobbing and prolonged weeping. So he didn't know what to do. He just stood there and waited. And after a while, the deep sobbing and tears subsided. And she began to confess to him, explain to him that how, as a child, she had been abused. And how, on the honeymoon, all the problems of that child abuse came to the surface, and she couldn't cope with it. And no one in her family service had known of the abuse. But the couple talked there on the hillside, and there they agreed that they would move back in together and commit to working it through. And the man wrote a note explaining all of this, and he drew a picture of the cross with the comment, "This is the surgery, and it's always open." This is the surgery, and it's always open. Matthew chapter 8, verses 14 to 17. Once again, we find the idea of the cross as a place of healing. Jesus comes into Peter's, the Apostle Peter's house, and Peter's mother-in-law is ill in bed. Jesus touches her hand, the fever leaves her, and she gets up, and as women do, she immediately realizes the house is full of guests, so she starts serving them. And as evening comes on, many people are brought there, and demon-possessed people are freed, and the sick are healed. Matthew says, "This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and carried our diseases." And that is actually from the section of Isaiah that prophesies the death of Jesus upon the cross. And so once again, we get the idea of the cross being a place of healing. We get too hung up sometimes in things of the spirit. We forget we've got bodies. And those bodies sometimes need the touch of God to heal us. We don't believe in the resurrection of the spirit. That is not a Christian doctrine. We believe in the resurrection of the body. That's a Christian doctrine. We were made to have body, spirit, and soul. And God shares our body. In Romans 12, verse 1, Paul encourages us to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Not offer your spirit, not offer your soul, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Bodies are important to God. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, Paul says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own." God indwells our bodies and makes our bodies a temple. Therefore, healing is important. Healing is a vitally symbolic and prophetic ministry that God carries out in our bodies. The Spirit of God makes us whole and lives in our body. It isn't spiritual to abuse our body if our body is a temple of God. There's no point coming to a place of healing if we are not looking after ourselves properly. And as I was just praying through this, I was working through it this morning, and it just occurred to me that maybe there's somebody here who is perhaps sleep deprived. You're anxious and you're worried, but you're basically sleep deprived. You are not sleeping long enough. You've been up too late studying and not sleeping long enough. Can I say to you, maybe this morning at the time of healing, you need to come here and repent of abusing your body. And as our ministry team, when somebody from our ministry team sits alongside you, you need to say to them, listen, I've been going to bed too late. God needs to change this. You need to repent of that, perhaps. That is the healing you need, abusing your body. It could be you need to diet. I'm just thinking, how about a Penrith summer slimming group? You know, some of us could do with shedding a few pounds over the summer. Just get us ready for Christmas and pile them on again. But, you know, maybe some of us need to lose weight. We need to meet together and pray with each other and encourage each other to lose weight. Perhaps there's an addiction problem. God does not want his people to be addicted. It is no part of God's plan for you or I to be addicted to anything, whether that's alcohol or drugs or nicotine or a computer game or the PlayStation or anything that has an addictive nature upon us. That is not God's will for us. We need to repent of that. Maybe our prayer time this morning, our healing time this morning, in terms of our healing and our health, is to be healed of a lifestyle that's sick. And our story began, I'm going to finish it, at the Pool of Bethesda. If you have this one on the screen, you can go to Jerusalem, and if you ask your tour guide nicely, he'll take you to the Pool of Bethesda. It doesn't look like the Pool of Bethesda did in Jesus' day. That rubble is actually the Pool of Bethesda, where Jesus performed this miracle. It was a place of healing. You can go there and your tour guide will take you. It's a place of healing that wasn't working for one guy. He was waiting there because the belief was that an angel would come down and stir the water, and the first person in the water would get healed. But he couldn't walk, so he was never the first person. But he hung out there anyway because it was a place of healing. And then what happens is that Jesus walks past, and it really does become a place of healing. Now, what had changed? What had changed? What was different in that place? What was different was Jesus was present. It had become a place of healing because Jesus was there. A couple of weeks ago, I quoted from a Christian comedian, a guy called Bobby Ball. He's a bit of a blunt guy, but he became a Christian dramatically. And this is one of his stories. His wife is called Yvonne. He said, "My Yvonne got up one Sunday morning. I hadn't been a Christian long. I said to her, 'You're cockeyed.' She said, 'No, I've just got migraine.' I said, 'I'm not happy.'" He writes like this. Just go with it, okay? "Her eye was right in the corner, one eye. I said, 'Come on, we're going to the doctor.' He right away said, 'I want you to go to Killingbeck Hospital.'" What a great name for a hospital. What a fantastic name. "So they sent us there. Then they sent her somewhere else. It was all within 2 days. They did all the tests and they found she had a tumour on her brain." My wife, a tumour on her brain. "And they said, 'We have to operate right away, Bob. It's a 50-50 operation. Either it works or it doesn't work. She's a cabbage if it doesn't work.'" I'm sure they didn't express it like that. But anyway, this is him talking. "I said, 'Okay.' She's in a hospital. She has to go down for the operation. They said, we've one more test before she goes in for the operation. Right, I said. I won't be a minute, Yvonne. I'm going to phone a friend of mine who's a minister. And we did a healing prayer over the phone. When I got back, she'd gone. Ten minutes later, they wheeled her back. I said, what's happened? They said, we can't find the tumour. It's disappeared. You can't tell me, he says, there's not a God. Snake in the desert. A bronze snake signifies a place of healing, and people were healed there. Snake becomes a symbol of the cross, the symbol of the place where we are healed. I'm going to ask you this morning to seek healing from God. We're going to pray in a moment and ask God to release the Holy Spirit among us. And we're going to ask him. That's just a Bethesda. I've moved on there. Please, thank you. We're not going to sing a final hymn because time is moving on. I want time for prayer. What we're going to do is this. We're going to pray. And then those of us who don't need prayer for healing this morning, we're going to go through for coffee and tea. I will be on the door if you have to slip out that way to say goodbye to you. If you would like prayer for healing, I'm going to ask you to come and sit in the chairs. If you're in the balcony, you'll have to come down and sit in the chairs downstairs. And there'll be quiet, there'll be no music playing. But the ministry team, somebody from the ministry team will come and sit beside you and ask you if you ask you what you would like prayer for. They will ask you if you would like to be anointed with oil, and they will do so. They won't pour it over you. They'll just anoint your forehead with oil. And then they will pray for your healing. It could be perhaps actually you're here for healing for somebody else, but that's fine. They'll pray for them instead of you if that's what you wish. But remember, the cross is the place of healing. This is the surgery, and it's always open. This is the surgery, and it's always open. As we come to the cross of Christ and pray for the Spirit to be released, this is the surgery, and it's always open.